How did you get interested in Marian apparitions?
Well, firstly, I have always been religious as far as a Christian, and though not always a Catholic, and I was actually a student Methodist minister back in my younger days when I was going to college. And one time, my wife and I went up to Wilmington, Delaware to investigate a bleeding statue in an Episcopal church. And I guess that was my first interest in a phenomenon of this nature. And it's always been a call that I've had, and I've always kind of had an internal calling to be a Catholic. And things really hit overdrive when, about 5 years ago, what happened is I'd always considered Catholicism, and the theology appealed to me, and I started attending a church in Keller, Texas. And I don't know if you're familiar with this, because I know you're a Catholic, but...
Yeah, or at least a born one.
I know, but I know at, adults coming in from other denominations go through the RCIA program. It's a year training period of giving them background in Catholicism and seeing if they're, right for it and it meets their needs. And what happened was, I went through the program, and the first Mass you go to, see, you don't really take Mass till you're confirmed. And I'm used to the East Coast where churches were, pretty Gothic looking.
Sure.
And I go in there, and my church is so modern, it looks like a movie theater lobby. So I say, well, okay, because I was looking for the holy water founts, because I know Catholics always cross themselves with holy water when they
go into the church. Yeah.
So I go sit on a bench and wait for the service to start, and, I didn't see the holy water founts. I didn't recognize them as such, and I see where they are when the veteran Catholics come out and use them. So I note this, and I go through the service and come out. And the service, the church I go to, George, has 26,000 members. And
that's huge.
It's the biggest church in Tarrant County, which is Fort Worth, Texas. And in any case, each service has 2,000 people in it at minimum. So I'm, being an old salesman, I'm interested in getting to the parking lot to get to the car to get out. So I'm the first one out the door, and I apply the holy water. And, George, there is a tremendous chill that goes through my whole torso. And I didn't understand, George, I didn't apply it with any great anticipation. As a matter of fact, I did it more mechanistically, like most Catholics would.
As you were trying to rush out the door, I bet, right?
Yes, right, because it would take 20 minutes to clear the parking lot, exactly.
Yeah.
So it happened the first two times I went to that service. And I mentioned it to the deacon who was in charge of the educational program. And he said, Kevin, you're not the only one that's had that happen here. And this is a very credible individual. He's been there 14 years. And that was one experience. But then things really got going. About a year and a half later, September 2008, I went up to New York. I've always had an upstate New York fascination for property.
Sure.
And beautiful area, and I was staying. I saw the property. I did the Cooperstown Museum visit, and I was going to save the last day just before flying out to sightsee through the Mohawk Valley around Fultonville, New York, about 40 miles east of Albany. Anyhow, what happened was, within the first 10 minutes, I find Our Lady of Martyrs Shrine in Orriesville, New York. Now, George, this is a beautiful place. But more than just beautiful, I'm there about an hour and a half, and George, for the first 45 minutes, I smell an overpowering, knock-you-down, throat-grabbing smell of roses.
And you're looking around, and there probably are none, right?
No, there's not. See, George, what I do mostly is I sell trees for a living, to landscapers, giant trees.
Okay.
So I'm familiar with plants to a certain extent and flowers.
Sure. Well, better than most, let's put it that way.
More than most, and this was, also there's another corollary to this. I have terrible allergies in Texas, and I think the allergies were better in New York, but I still wasn't a bloodhound. It takes about 2 or 3 days to, maybe not really longer than that, really a week or two to get drainage and recover your olfactory senses and so forth. But anyhow, so in other words, I'm not a real bloodhound when I was up there. So... this is so powerful that after 45 minutes, I go into the museum they have up there, and I speak with the curator, and I said, lady, what have you got that's so fragrant up here? I mean, I don't see anything but pines and maples. and no flowers. And she looked at me like she was stunned. And she said, you smelled it too? And I said, yes, I did. And she said, well, every now and then someone does. What happens is, it's called the odor of sanctity. It's a smell of fragrant flowers or roses, and it's a frequently occurring phenomena in Marian apparitions and with Catholics. It just happens.
So the church isn't piping it in somehow or anything like that?
No, you got to understand the setting too, George. This is on about a 40-acre plateau. You come up about, I know it's upstate New York, it's not the Rockies, but still, it's about, a third of a mile up. And then it's just a beautiful plain. So there was no services going on with, incense or anything of that nature. No flowers. Nobody was trying to, promote this or anything. In other words, it's a very rural setting too. It's nothing much around.
Yeah.
At the time I was there, there weren't even very many people. Perhaps no more than 3 or 4 on the grounds. And, Carol up there, she said that over the last 12 years she's been there, it happens maybe half a dozen to 10 times. But she's not the only one that's heard of that experience occurring there. And this got me thinking and investigating. And the more I looked into it, the more I found. Just in that one odor of sanctity thing, it's connected very much with Catholic saints. In other words, it's not just an isolated event. For example, even Padre Pio. Do you remember Padre Pio from the 60s?
Sure, he had the stigmata, right?
Right. Now, the odor of sanctity was a phenomenon just associated with his persona. He didn't put on fragrances or men's colognes, but he exuded this excellent floral-smelling mm-hmm. smell.
That seemed to follow him, huh?
It did. It did. And I guess what also really gripped me and started the more I got into this was that people would almost expect that sort of phenomenon to associate itself with a Catholic saint or someone of, of high spiritual stature,
sure.
but not an old tree salesman like me or actually there's a lady in my church. Now, George, I've been divorced twice and I'm trying to get annulments and I may or may not, but
does it take that long?
Oh, George. You could have a show on that. But I don't want to say anything that anybody might be listening and write me down with a bad mark. But the lady, the very excellent lady who acts as your advocate and more or less your defense attorney with the church, she had that same experience. She and her family were praying for a stepmother who was on the verge of death. In a hospital, there's about 6 of them in a hospital room. The odor of sanctity just completely swept through that room. And all 6 of them were so alarmed by this, they started saying the rosary. I mean, it was that moving an experience.
Oh, I'm sure that they would. Now, is the recipient, like you and this woman, this family, is that important in this kind of scent situation?
I don't know the importance to it. I can't really say. It just seems to be a byproduct of the holy, I guess.